Hey, all you Arizona lovers. This is the Finding Arizona podcast, episode number 132. We are chatting with a newfound friend. His name is JC. And this one is an intense one, guys. I mean, JC is no stranger to things in his life going really, really intensely. And I'm not going to put any more words to that. I'm going to just let you guys listen to the episode and tell me what you think. Other than that, JC is a wonderful guy. I got the chance to work out with his group. He's a personal trainer, and he is doing some wonderful things with the neighborhood and the community that he wants to be a part of. I think that from his perspective, that this is his life. Like, the gym is his sanctuary for him. And we get into it. We talk about it, what he's going through. He's actually going to be, I think he already did his competition. He was doing a physique competition. So shout out to JC and the fellas over at Wrong to Strong. Let's pay some bills. You can find us at findingarizonapodcast.com. There you'll find all our episodes. If you want to go check out anything else in our social media, it's all under Finding Arizona Podcast. That's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I also suggest that you guys go check out our Patreon page. That's where you will actually receive extra episode and extra content. Right now, one thing that we're showing off is our Mother's Day special. I actually sat down with my mom for a little bit and we chatted it up on Mother's Day. And so if you want to hear the conversation of me and my mom getting into my history, I guess, well, our history. Yeah, we get into it, and you can kind of hear where I get my intensity from. So go check out patreon.com/FindingArizonaPodcast. And last but not least, the community corkboard, ladies and gentlemen. If you have an event or something special going on, please give us a shout out. That is findingarizonapodcast@gmail.com. There you can send us anything. So today we have a couple of events going on in the upcoming community. So down here in Phoenix, if you guys already know, May 24th to the 27th, that will be Phoenix Comic Fest. I want to make sure that I get that right. Phoenix Comic Fest, May 24th to the 27th. That's over there at the Phoenix Convention Center. And it's our Comic-Con season, guys. Go check it out. Have some fun. I know our pals over at the Absolute Geek Podcast are going to be over there. So if you guys see those guys, give them a shout out for me. Also going on. On May 24th, over down in Tempe at the Yucca Tap Room, our friends the Fairy Bones are having their free concert going on over there. So go check out the Yucca Tap Room on Thursday, May 24th. That starts at 7 o'clock. They are going on with a couple of other local bands, so go check that out. Thank you guys over at the Fairy Bones. I know Chelsea and those fellas are working very hard. They've got some new songs. I think they have a whole new album out. I had planned on coming into the show, so we're still in the works for that. Chelsea, if you're hearing this, please give me a call. Other than that, guys, we're going to jump right into the episode. Episode number 132, JC from Wrong to Strong. Let's go. This is going to be fun, man. I've got so many questions and so many like things I want to ask you that it's going to be a good time. And I know you don't have any problem talking. No.
I put on my sunglasses. So I feel like I have like a, it gives me this confidence. I feel like Superman when I put on my glasses.
I get it, man. All right. Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Finding Arizona Podcast. I'm your host, Jose. As always, we are here in the wonderful studio. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And we have someone very special today. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. This guy, just talking to him for the last 10 minutes has really been eye-opening. So I want to give it up. Well, please welcome JC of Wrong to Strong Fitness. Thank you, JC.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you coming by. We met, you know, through mutual friends, and so hopefully we can make this fun for you, all right? First question off, tell us a little bit about Wrong to Strong and how it got started.
Well, it began as a dream when I was in prison. I started planning it about 7 years ago when I first went to prison. Yeah. And I just had it on paper pretty much. And I ended up getting violated in 2015. And that's when it really, really came together because it was an eye-opener. So it was pretty much, I really needed to get my shit together pretty much.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Like I got out in 2013. Mm-hmm. I came home with two notebooks that I carry with me to this day.
And I flipped through it a little bit, yeah.
And it was a plan, a 5-year plan. And, you know, it was become sponsored by 5%, get my license, get a job, become one of the best personal trainers, mm-hmm. you know, work for LA Fitness. And it was just, you know, checking stuff off. And
yeah,
I was doing good, but I was still kind of like, I thought that little things didn't matter. Like, I was driving without a license, but it was cool because I wasn't selling drugs. I wasn't doing like big stuff. So that was okay to me.
Yeah.
But I ended up, you know, messing up and I got sent back. And that's when I really realized is that I have to follow all the rules pretty much. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like everybody else.
Yeah, it's got to be certain things. Like, when you, let's first backtrack a little bit. I mean, going to prison is, you know, we have a lot of people come in here, and that's something that's never come through here. And that's something that I, you know, personally, one of my cousins is serving time right now. And, you know, that's one thing that my family goes through and deals with. And on a personal level, I've only ever seen him once, and he's serving, you know, this long sentence. And it's, for me, you know, as a family member, I can understand the difficulties of reaching out and connecting with someone who's in an isolated incident in this place of, like, you know, you're in trouble, but you're still a family member too. It's like, can you give us a little bit about your family and, you know, what, cause I have a sense of, like, what you're about to, like, tell me about, like, gang life and things like that, that we discussed earlier. So can you give me a little insight about that?
I mean, honestly, my family really wasn't there while I was in prison. Mm-hmm. You know, I have my two sisters that have only been the ones that really have, like, had my back, like, 100%, you know?
Yeah.
I used to get really mad because I used to see all these other guys that were there for, like, really bad crimes, you know, like, mm-hmm. bad stuff. And they would get visits and they would get money sent to them. And they used to just piss me off because I used to be like, you know, but my family really was the gangs, like my gang that I was involved with. Like, that's why I grew like a flower in there, because I used to feel at home there, because that's where I found, you know, my family, unity, love, you know, structure, everything. I found it there, you know. It's I always wanted it, and I always was seeking for it because I never had it as a kid. I grew up in a very dysfunctional family, so
yeah. I mean, that it's just one of those things that, like, I, you know, there's so many layers to who you are. And I want to, a lot of the times what we do here is just try to pull it back and see where, like, some of that comes from. And, you know, that one of those things is family and support. And then where you get your understanding, like, where did you learn? I mean, I know that you said the gang life, but where did you get a lot of your education from, the learning of your business and learning of your, who you are today?
I have a PhD in street life.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the best education. You know, it's funny because when I first came home, I went for a big interview for Orange Theory, and the big boss lady, mm-hmm. right, she's still my friend to this day. I showed up and I was really nervous. You know, I was wearing slacks for the first time in my life without having to go to court. And
yeah.
I was dressed up, and She told me, she's like, why are you so nervous? And I was like, well, I have to tell you something. And she's like, what, that you're a convicted felon? And I'm like, well, yeah. And she started laughing. She's like, JC, she's like, you, if I were to drop you off on Roosevelt and 16th Street, and I dropped off a college kid that grew up with a gold spoon in his own mouth, like, the next day you would show up with a mink coat and, like,
yeah,
you know, exactly. You know, she was like, you have the best education. She's like, you're a hustler. Look at how far you've went in LA Fitness. Because they scouted me out when I was at LA Fitness, because like 6 months down the road, I was already their master trainer.
Wow.
So it's like I was working from 4 a.m. to 9 o'clock at night every day.
Jesus.
And just that mentality of just go, 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 go. Like, damn, I mean, that's what I learned on the streets. It's like, it was all or nothing. You know what I mean? So
every little scrap.
Yes. Everything. Absolutely. Everything counts.
Do you, you know, do you hold any ill will towards anyone or anger or anything like that or negativity that would bring you back to a place like prison or jail or anything like that?
I used to, man. That's what actually made me go back this last time. You know, I still had a lot of pain. I still had a lot of, you know, resentment and just hate. You know, I resented my mom for, you know, it was her brother that molested us as kids. I resented a lot of my family, my dad for abandoning us. You know, I had a lot of pain and a lot of like anger in me, but at the end of the day, it was affecting me more than anybody else. Cause I kind of sat down and thought about it. I was like, everybody's actually moved on with their life. They probably don't even think about it. Yeah. I'm the only one that's still like fucking up and still thinking about it.
Yeah.
So I was like, it was time for me to let it go.
Yeah.
It was time for me to let it go and get better.
I'm like, there's so many things that you have coming and going and making you who you are. Does the writing help? Does the writing give you an opportunity to just take moments for yourself?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the writing has become almost like therapy. I have, you know, poetry. Like, a lot of people will be like, you write poetry? And I'm like, yeah, what? Just because I got covered in tattoos and I can't write poetry?
Yeah, I like to say your mind is one of your strongest features, like your strongest attributes if you know how to work it. And then that's, a lot of the times people are afraid to go dive that deep and then, you know, take the moments and, you know, actually train their brain.
You know, it's funny because like now that I'm a little bit older, I think about like as a kid, I used to like build my own toys out of like cardboard and like toothpaste boxes and stuff like that. Cause we really didn't, you know, have no toys as kids. And I came to realize that, you know, cause for a long time I used to think that I was like dumb, you know. I for a long time I don't know how to read, I don't know how to write. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know. But no, I'm actually came to realize that I'm actually really fucking smart. I was just using it in all the bad, you know, situation, all bad stuff. And now that I sit down and I write, and like I'm one of the busiest trainers at my gym, and like it's crazy, like. Once you really focus your, and I've heard this before that, you know, felons coming out of prison are some of the hardest working guys. They're actually very, very smart. Yeah. They just used it for all the bad reasons.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, exactly. If you focus, if you can steer it to another momentum or another attribute or trait in which you have, it just works. It somehow just gives you a kind of a new opportunity almost. I don't know. Just it's really cool to like see that kind of momentum move to something positive and move to something that really gives you hope and gives you new enlightenment.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at some of my poetry, you know, I'm working on 3 books, and one of them is my bio, my life. One of them is called A Dozen Roses, and it's actually about all the women in my life, because I grew up with a lot of women in my life. Yeah. I have a lot of girl cousins. Okay. I have all girl daughters.
Oh,
so it's
like
there's been a lot of women in my life. So they've all brought something into my life or taught me something.
Let's get into that. I mean, I know we talked about your mom and a little bit. We touched on that. And then what about your daughters, and what have they attributed to your life, and what have they given you insight into?
I mean, honestly, my 2 oldest daughters, Jasmine and Julia, I was in prison most of their life, but when I got out, and I see them now, you know, 22, 21, and they're actually really good girls. Like, it makes me sad that I wasn't there, but it also makes me happy that maybe I wasn't there for a reason because I was so damaged back then. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I kind of like, oh man, you know, I good thing I wasn't around. Like yeah. they actually made it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes when we're not good parents, we, you know, we mess up the kids more than, yeah. than help them. So like, but to see them, it makes me really happy and proud, you know, and Valerie, she's 14. She's just a sweetheart. I mean, I was involved in her life for a while, and like, I'm going to pick her up tomorrow. You know, I see her and she's just happy that I'm around. I mean, we always want to be, that's like the one thing that I always crave, you know, getting to know my dad and, you know, even now that I'm older, I still like, hey, dad, how you doing? You know, I call him once in a while.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, good.
You know, just trying to make that connection. I think it's just something natural that we have in us, you know? So it's yeah. like, my daughter's, I have a newborn right now also.
Annabella. Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Bella, you said?
Annabella.
Annabella.
Yeah,
nice.
She's 4 months and, you know, it's now I get to see the whole thing. Now I have everything I've been craving my whole life. I have my family. Like, I have my fiance. She yeah. has 2 boys and our baby, you know, and it's, I come home and we have that family. We're going to go to Dave and Buster's tonight. And
oh, very cool.
Go
yeah.
hang out and, yeah. you know, have the boys play video games and stuff. But, like,
did you ever think that, you know, you'd get to that?
No, like, that's
ever,
what I was about yeah, to say, man.
Never
it's like,
you'd
sometimes
have that?
I'm just waiting to, like, wake up and it's like, it was all a dream, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
this is just a, and it's sad, but, like, sometimes I'm waiting to wake up and be, like, back in prison again. Like, wake up and, like, wake up back in the bed because I spent so much time there that it almost seems like this is too good to be true.
Yeah. So. It's like, it just gives you... I think it. I hope that it gives you like hope and realization of like you can make a difference. You can make that change. You can do all the things that you wanted to. Oh, man, that. But obviously, that does already because you're doing what you're doing for a reason, and it's really cool, man. I don't know how many times I've wished someone would come in my life and give me that kind of motivation and that. And it's cool that someone actually introduced me to you because. I've been looking to get back into working out and I want to ask you a little bit about that. Like, where did that strength and why choose something like fitness to help guide your new life?
Honestly, I think that fitness is like the best medicine for everything, whether it's addiction, whether it's, anything, it's depression, fitness is something that I seen because obviously in prison you see people from all walks of life that are suffering from many, many illnesses. I mean, from addiction to, you yeah. know, depression, just everything. You see every walk of life in there. And that's the one way that everybody releases stress. Everybody gets better. Everybody finds some kind of structure.
Yeah.
So I'm a firm believer in fitness, man, that it's like the magic pill to fix not everything, but a lot of things.
Yeah, those endorphins.
Yes, you know that Dr. Feelgood feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, I am so like crazy about it that, you know, even my fiance knows that my workout comes first, even before her. Like, that's got to be first because that's what keeps me sane.
Yeah.
So definitely. Like she's totally backs me up. She already knows that on Sunday, even if I don't work, I'm getting up at 3 a.m. I'm at the gym at 3:30. I work out and I come home about 8 or 9. Like
wow.
So it's like
that's intense, man. So you go straight 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I get up every day at 3 a.m. No matter whether it's Monday, Sunday, or I'm very. I'm a creature of habit. I do the same thing every day.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. Like, let me ask you. Like, what's that like? What's that structure? Let me get an insight of like what is your typical like Monday look like?
I get up at 3 a.m. Get up, walk a little bit on my treadmill.
Okay.
She makes my breakfast for me while I'm doing cardio.
Nice.
Get off, eat, get ready for work, head into work. My first client's at 4:30 a.m.
Yeah.
I train her at 5:30. It's grandma. She's been with me for about a year now.
Oh, jeez.
Older lady, but she trains with me 5 times out of the week. So she's pretty hardcore. And then I work out with my Wrong to Strong crew from, 5:30 to 7.
Uh-huh.
And then I just go nonstop. I have clients back to back from 7 all the way to about 5 now, because I used to work nights, but I canceled my nights so I could spend some time with my, yeah, with my family.
Quality time, man.
Yeah, she was giving me a hard time about that.
you talked to us a little bit about your future plans of what you got cooking and brewing up. Let's jump into a little bit about the future and what you got going on. You are actually participating in an event coming up. You guys are training for a show. Give us a little bit of background on that show.
Yeah, it's going to be my first bodybuilding show. It's July 20th in Mesa at the Art Center, I believe. I hired the guy that I do the show with, Bo. He's my coach.
Yeah.
A trainer should never train himself because we're our worst critics. So I hired outside eyes to pretty much guide me through my prep. And
how's that been going for you?
I'm hungry.
The best of us get hungry. Yeah.
I went from 248 to I'm at 190 right now. So
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So I'm hungry for you. Are you going to Dave & Buster's today?
I'm going to drink. I got two of those in the car. I drink that Diet Coke Zero, man, and it just keeps me like sane, you know.
The gum keeps you a little, sugar boost.
I chew a lot of gum while I'm doing it.
And, I know a little bit about the secrets behind it.
So I do a lot of things, man. I even do BCA like frozen pops that I keep in the fridge. Cool. Yeah. I have little secrets here and there that I do, but
nice.
It's been tough. It's really, really tough to lean out, man. It's really, really tough to drop your digits to single digits in body fat, man. It's a mind game.
Yeah.
Especially when you have the kids over and they're ordering pizza and, you know.
All the little things.
It's tough. So yesterday when the kids ordered pizza, I just went to bed. I went to sleep because I couldn't stand the smell of it. So I was like, I'm going to bed. I went to bed.
Do you schedule cheat meals? Or are you on a different, like, what?
The way that he trains, he pretty much gives you carbs throughout the whole thing. But okay. I'm kind of behind on schedule because I messed up a couple weeks back. And I told you, I don't believe in first. I have one gear and it's like number 10. Like I ate like 4 cheeseburgers and like 2 large pizzas and a dozen donuts. Like I just, when I go, I go.
10,000 calories.
I don't mess around. Like he doesn't even believe how much I could eat. He's like, that's crazy, dude. It's like, I messed up pretty bad and I gained about 10 pounds. So I had to lose them again.
Oh,
so it set me back.
Jesus, man. You learn the hard way. You won't do it again.
No, I mean, I just know that it's crunch time, and like now I'm gonna have to like really, really, like suffer these next couple of days where we're gonna go like all protein, no carbs at all for a couple of days.
That's monstrous, and right there.
It's gonna be rough.
Yeah. I would not like to be around you that day.
So
be a customer. I mean, like, we're doing extra today.
Well, my clients kind of know me already, so I get really quiet. That's about it. Just get really quiet. It's not the normal JC.
Yeah. Okay. I get it. That's good, though. I mean, I'm glad that you, like, I'm glad that you're the person that you are, because it just, another person maybe in your shoes probably wouldn't be the kind of happy-go-lucky, the person that I sit here before me today, or I mean, at least not be able to do something like this, like a podcast or anything like that. So appreciate you coming by.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. The biggest thing for me is getting my message out there, man.
So talk a little bit about that message. What do you want people to know, and what do you want them to help understand? Another thing that I wanted to ask you, like, what makes you different from the other trainers? What's that X factor for you?
I mean, honestly, man, I'm gonna give it to you in black and white, and you're not gonna meet somebody as real as me. Like I'm just gonna, I'm not in it to take your money. I'm in it because it's therapy for me.
Yeah,
me helping people get to where they need to be is therapy for me. This is the reason why I was so interested in starting my nonprofit and getting it up and running, is like helping all these guys, these vets, these addicts, you know, these guys getting out. Like it's therapy for me. At the end of the day, they're helping me more than I'm helping them.
Yeah.
They think it's the other way around, but it's really them helping me.
That's and
awesome. It feeds my soul, man. It's just I can't express how I feel when I go home. Like it's a feeling that, you know, you spend a lot of time trying to find yourself in life, and when you do, and you start doing something you really really love, it's almost like it's like a flower starts to grow inside of you, and it's yeah. crazy how you feel. It's just. You're like on top of the world, like skipping and yeah. like, you could be as broke as like, yeah. and barely be making it, but you're like, yeah, man, I'm on top of the world. Like, yeah. It's a feeling,
and
that's
what this is for me. Like, honestly, like I wouldn't be doing this for the past 2 years if I didn't fucking love turning mm-hmm. it on and just, you know, yeah. doing this back and forth.
I could tell because how when I met you, how your eyes lit up. I'm a very good, like, one thing we learn in prison is how to read people's body language and like facial expressions.
Yeah.
It's what keeps you alive. So
I get it, man.
You learn to pretty much see the bullshit in people.
Yeah.
And see the fake and see when people are honest and sure. you get to see it. So I see it, man. I see how, you know, this is something that makes you happy. This is something
Thank
that you.
You
enjoy to do, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You know, if not, you'd be sitting with a shit faced look.
Yeah, just
so tell
who's
me.
This guy? Yeah, nah. I want to ask you too. It's like we've talked about a little bit about like the DMX stuff and like what's been your kind of like story as far as like broadcasting and being networking and this kind of, you know, as you're growing your brand and those sort of, what's been your favorite kind of story to tell about you growing this?
Honestly, it's just been more, I'm really not, how would they say that? A name dropper, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So I've always just told my story.
Yeah.
My story is pretty action packed, man. There's love, crying. There's everything in the
dude. I want to make a movie out of your whole story because I feel like that's what it's gonna turn into.
I mean, honestly, think about it. I mean, what kid would end up, you know, working for the cartel at the age of 17 in Mexico?
Jeez.
You know, driving, you know, expensive cars.
Dude, you need to finish this book like, you know, now.
It's like I sit back and I think about it, and I'm like, shit, man, I lived pretty, like, I'm really like 100 years old. I'm not really 42. I'm like 100, you know, because it's crazy to, I mean, being 16 years old and making, you know, 30 grand here and there, like, that's how much people make in 1 year, you know what I mean? So it's
be
like,
honest with me, like, is it, I mean, you were selling drugs and things, or how you might make it?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, I was in charge of cars that were coming in and out of Mexico. That's where I got caught. That's where I begun the longest like stretch that I did in prison was when I got caught in Mexico and I was in the Mexican prisons.
How'd they catch you? Like, did
in Mexico, they have like army, they'll set up roadblocks
in
certain areas where they know there's a lot of traffic stuff happening.
Yeah.
And I was so on top of the world that I was cocky, you know, and one of my drivers got scared and he was like, no, I'm not going through the roadblock. And I was like, oh, you know, leave this to the real man. And I jumped in the car and sure enough, I mean, I got caught. I got beat up. They sent me to a real messed up place that it's crazy how the system is over there. All I remember is they opened these big black doors, threw me in, closed them, and I just never even seen a judge, and I just signed papers that I got 15 years and that was it. Like,
what?
It was crazy. Like,
literally, so you just went to a desk or something,
yep,
and like someone gave you papers to sign.
Like, some guy sitting on a desk, and I was like,
oh,
that's how they roll over here. And I was like,
yeah,
shit. So, the American consul went to go see me. So once the American consul went to go see me, they started, you know, they made sure that I was an American, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I got in the American exchange program, but they charge you to bring you back. So you actually have to
pay
the money.
Yeah.
Pay the money in order to get transferred. But every time I came up with the money, my drug habit was so bad over there that I would spend it. And I would be like, ah, fuck it. I'm just staying in Mexico. But, you know, 4 years later, I was like, shit, I need to get out of here. I'm going to die. I was like, like a stick. I was using so much stuff that, because in Mexico, it's, have you ever seen that movie, Get the Gringo with Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
That's exactly how it is in there.
Wow.
That's the most, like, perfect description of what prison is in Mexico.
Okay.
Guns inside, drugs, yeah. Prostitution. It's just a little town inside of another little town.
Wow. Jeez. I'm just like, I'm baffled, man. I'm just like, that's a journey in itself. Like, that whole is right there, a movie, right? And I don't even know, like, do you just go, when you leave the prison, do you just walk home? Like, did you show up at home and like, hey, I'm home, or started?
No, actually, I got transferred to La Tuna Federal Prison in El Paso, Texas. I got there. That's when I realized, when I was on that plane flying over to the United States, I realized, I looked over to all the Americans and they all looked really bad, like mentally, like bad. And I realized that if I wouldn't have been in my young age of prime violence, I wouldn't have made it. Mm. Like, we seen a lot of bad stuff over there, a lot of bad stuff. They were chopping heads already back then and doing a lot of stuff to, like, sex offenders. So the Americans came back pretty screwed up.
Yeah.
So I was like, whoa, I'm lucky I was so young in my prime that, you know, I made it out. So when I flew to Texas, I was there for a little bit. They released me, but I was wanted in Illinois for another case. So the sheriffs came and got me. I went to El Paso County Jail. Man, I've been all over the place.
Yeah, jumped into, like, that place.
I've been from Florida to Alabama to, I mean, you name it.
It's like Johnny Cash song right there.
Pretty much, man. Yeah. I did a video the other day on my YouTube where I was kind of, like, telling my story a little bit. I actually had to take some of the pictures out of the, because there was literally like 25 prisons. And I was like, you know what? The video is going to be all prisons.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going to be able to tell my story. Wow. So I took some of the pictures out and I was like, wow, I never realized I'd been to that many places.
Jeez, man.
You know?
So
that's another movie. That's part two.
That's part two of the movie.
Actually, part three.
This is a mini series, Dad. It's turning into HBO mini series.
So
the other part too is like your drug habits. Like, how do you go from skinny, ready to one foot in the grave to probably you gained how much, like you probably lost, what was your lowest weight? Highest weight?
I mean, I was size 29 in waist when I got back from Mexico. So I was like skin and bones. And, you know, when I got home, I started eating really bad. I was really depressed. I was drinking a lot. I got all the way up to 287 pounds. I was really, really big, fat. And so
you've gone like up, down. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So, you know, it's been a journey, man. Yeah. It's been crazy.
Jeez.
But I wouldn't change it for nothing.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's made you the strong man that you are. And like, so you go from, now let's go into like, you're back at your prime weight. You're now helping others. What's that first aha moment, you know, realizing that you're going to start this business? Like, what makes that aha moment make you sign the LLC, sign the 501C, sign the documents to say Wrong to Strong is alive?
I just want it. Like, I'm hungry for it. Like, I wake up every day in the morning with new ideas. I wake up every morning just hungry to work out. I wake up every day hungry to help people. I know what I want. Like, you got a vision. I listen to a lot of motivational stuff. And right now, like, my favorite, I play it over and over again on my workout playlist, but it's that Mike Mills' new song, Win and Lose.
Yeah.
And it has that, what's his name? Les Brown, motivational speaker.
Yeah, I like Les Brown.
And, the very first thing I listen to as soon as I wake up and I'm in the shower is motivational stuff.
Nice.
And it gets me like, I get even like riled up. Like, I want to fight. It's a different kind of fight that I have in me now. So it's like, I'm ready to take on the world.
Yeah.
And I leave the house, like, even my fiance to this day, she's still like, you're fucking crazy.
You said yes to this.
And I'm like, yeah, I know. You know, this is why we get along, because you're fucking crazy too. I mean, if you were to see us, we look like the oddest couple, man. She's like 6 foot tall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm only 5'6". So it's like, that should tell you that I'm really strong-minded, you know what I mean?
Where'd you meet her?
I met her at the gym.
Oh, okay. That's
And she's a lifter, too. She likes to lift, you know, but...
Is she doing a competition?
No, right now she's dealing with the baby stuff, and she gained weight, so right now she's losing it and everything. She's putting in the work, but yeah, she loves to work out, and...
But still, people eat that shit up. Like when you go from like, you know, if she wanted to do like her own thing, like
that's what I told her. She's been really good about, you know, keeping track of everything. I told her, babe, you gotta show these women that once you have the baby, you can lose it, blah blah. So she's been doing good, you know. But
it's a good little side hustle on top of the other hustle. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, my main focus is like for her to spend time with my daughter, and
yeah, definitely,
like I got her gym membership and everything, but it's crazy how much my daughter has came along just for spending a lot of that mommy time with her instead of dropping her off at a daycare. Mm-hmm. So she's only 4 months old and she's already flipping around, trying to crawl, keeping her head up. Like, nice. She's very advanced.
She's got your
oh, like, she's a monster. Yeah. She's like 20 pounds already right now. She's only weigh like 12. So I don't know,
that's
man.
That's awesome, man. I mean, that's good though. You can kind of see I want to get perspective too. I mean, I've never been a father, so it's like,
it's a beautiful thing, man. It's beautiful to see how happy they get to see you. They recognize you.
Her eyes bright up whenever she sees you.
It's something, man, that you can't put a price on, and you have to enjoy those. Because once they get older, they turn into little assholes. So like, you got to enjoy those first years, man. You know. Then after that, they just call you when they need money.
Yeah. I keep hearing that the teenage years can get a little rough.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I get along with all my daughters. Julia is the one that I fight with the most because she's a copy of me. We are the same. The same in every way, and me and her just right now we're not talking right now. We just got into it not too long ago, and it's like we fight when we make up. We fight when we make up, and that's JC.
She'll hear this and she'll be like, I gotta call my dad. He's telling people stuff. We gotta work this out.
So like, she's a copy of me, but like I don't. It doesn't faze me. I don't get mad. Like it's just what it is, and I'm just dealing with the old me, that's all.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Exactly.
So it's all good.
Do they get embarrassed whenever you post stuff, or do they like...
My Julia, like I said, is the one that I fight with the most. She tells me, Dad, why are you listening to rap? You're too old to listen to rap. And I'm like, dude, I'm not old. You know, I'm barely 42, right? And she'd be like, why are you dressed like that?
You gotta explain to her, like, rap is like... It's the thing, like, you once you grow up on it, it does, like, what you listen to is just a continuation. It never goes away.
Goes away, but, like, she's, like, when a couple years back, I was, like, I wanted to, like, be in the best shape ever, and I was training to go into an MMA gym, and I decided to get a mohawk, man. I don't know why, but I got a mohawk, and I dyed it red, and she would not be seen with me nowhere. And I get it, you know. There's some things that you should just leave in the past, but yeah. I kind of dug it, you know, it was pretty cool. You gotta understand.
You gotta have those moments.
I went to prison at 16 almost, you know, 16. I grew up in there. So there's a lot of things that I still have on my bucket list that I want to do, man.
A bad hairstyle is one.
Bad hairstyle, you know.
I get it, man.
Just certain little things that, you know, you make those mistakes when you're young that I didn't get the chance to make.
Exactly.
It,
like, you know? That's one of those things that, like, I know, like, in high school, God, my... my junior year of high school, I fucking had these long, it was bad. It was bad. It was bad hairdo. And I was like, I don't even show that picture anymore. Like the fifth, the 10th grade, it's high school picture. Don't show it to anyone. Doesn't exist.
I had to throw away some pictures where I had those MC Hammer pants on, man. I was like, what the fuck was I thinking? How did I think those look cool? Like, I didn't understand why. Why would you think those look cool?
I don't know, man.
You know, it's
crazy. So it's good that your kids are like, they're keeping you grounded and they're like still like your worst critics ever. They'll always be like the most, probably your harshest critics ever. And that, but I mean, it's what they do. It's, they love you. They just want to see you be cool. Yeah. Just stay out of my life and just don't do anything embarrassing. Yeah. I just, you know, there's a lot of things that as we kind of continue this, I want to know, you know, what you want. What's the 10-year plan out of this? Like, because I know that you're the type of person, it seems from our conversation, you're the type of person to make these kind of plans. And what's your next couple of steps moving forward? You know, you have the BCAs coming out, I know, and then you have other things that I know you probably have in noodling up there. What's the ultimate goals?
The ultimate goal, man, is to be able to. I look at every year, I'm gonna make my net bigger and bigger to catch bigger fish.
Okay,
that's how the way I think and I look at it. Like right now, I'm fishing for like maybe little tunas.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna catch me a fucking great white in a couple of years.
Yeah,
so it's like, you know, 10 years from now, you know, who knows? Maybe Ron and Strong will have a big center, just like the Salvation Army, you know, and we'll be able to help more. My biggest thing is a lot of people tell me, okay, so why don't you work with the kids? And I believe that, yeah, you know, the kids, it's good. We should work with them and everything. But it's just like a Band-Aid. I need to keep the dads out with the kids so that a change could happen. Yeah. So that chain could break. Because if I keep them out and they're with their kids, I seen it when my 14-year-old, when I stayed out this time and I actually started doing good, even her grades changed. Everything changed. She called me yesterday. She's like, hey, Dad, are you coming to my graduation? And I was like, yeah, baby. Like, what do you need? Do we need to get a dress? Do you want me to dress up? What do you, like, what? Can I show up in shorts? She's like, please don't show up in shorts. Just,
yeah. Have that information.
Like, it's if I keep the dads out with their kids, then the change is actually going to happen. And that's my biggest thing is that I want to create a fucking change, man. Yeah. And break that chain. Like, I mean, we have such a high rate of people going back. It's at like 80-something%, man. Wow. So it's like, if we could at least 1%, man, would do something.
Yeah.
It's got to.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, I mean,
I definitely think so.
The whole Wrong to Strong thing is like, you know, I have my office on 35th Avenue and Thomas in Maryville.
Yeah.
And I have the office there. I have a donation boxes with gym, you know, shoes, shorts, gym stuff so people can work out. They don't have no stuff.
Yeah.
The whole goal is to get that office up and running to create a classroom to teach these guys how to become personal trainers, fitness classes.
Nice.
How to use social media to their advantage to you know, market themselves and stuff like that and create jobs for them.
Nice.
You know, where they don't have to go through the backup, the check and get turned down. Because honestly, that's one of the main things that fucks these guys up is that they get out and they come out with so many dreams of starting over and everything. Mm-hmm. And you go and apply for a job and they tell you, no, you're a convicted felon. You can't have this job. Mm-hmm. You start almost saying like, well, fuck the world. And I'm just going to go back to what I know how to do.
Yeah.
Because it's easier. It's easier to do what's wrong. It's very, very strong. It's very, very hard to be strong. Mm-hmm. That's my main saying like now. Mm-hmm. It's like, if I could give these guys hope and tell them, look at dude, it's going to take a little bit of work, but we got you. We got your back.
Yeah.
We got 30 guys on the crew that if you need a ride, we're going to send somebody to pick you up. If you need this, if you need clothes, if you need shoes, like it's work. The wheel's turning right now. It's not where I want it to be yet, but you know, Rome wasn't built in one day.
Exactly.
So,
hey man, but I'll let you know this. If there's anything that we can do to help out, let us know. We love volunteering. We love doing, you know, if you have a guy that you think wants, should be on sitting right where you are, please have them open door policy.
Okay.
For sure, man. It's like, whatever we can do to help build something special, I want to be a part of it. And for me, this is definitely one of those things. And I, you know, this may not seem like a lot, but it's what we have and what we have to offer. And I think that we're helping out a lot of people by having them in and telling their story like this.
I mean, honestly, bro, I think that this is what helps people the most. Is, I mean, I call it real raw. I say a lot of bad words.
No, don't worry about it.
Real raw shit.
Yeah, real raw shit.
You know, people like us are the ones that are going to make the difference. The people like us that are working in our backyards, that are in the garage, putting in the work, because we're doing it non-selfish. Like, we're giving. Like,
yeah.
It's what exactly creates the change. And, you know, I'll tell you a story is that yesterday, a guy, I was buying some stuff for the kids, potato chips, all the junk food that they like to eat.
Yeah.
I knew they were coming over. And this guy comes over and this girl is eating a pizza in front of Little Caesars, just in her car eating.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys, you know, you could tell the guy was on drugs and stuff like that, but he asked her for one slice of pizza.
Yeah.
And she told him no. And I was like, really?
One slice? Wow.
So I went in and I bought him a whole pizza and I gave it to him. And he's like, thank you. And I'm really hungry. And I was like, I get it, dude. Like, but I got home and I told my fiance, I was like, it's crazy how like us as like a society, we've become like where we see somebody suffering, we just want to turn around instead of like, hey, just saying, how you doing?
Yeah.
Do you need a fucking hug? I don't care if you smell or not. Let me give you a fucking hug.
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's just crazy how we've turned into just this cold, like, I don't know, man. I can't describe it, man. Like,
it's harsh sometimes. Like, as I've gone, because I work downtown, so I start to see these sort of things come up with like the vagrants, just, you know, people who are having hard times, just all running, like they're about. And I do my best to kind of at least acknowledge and be like, hey, how's it going? Or at least understand, you know, if I have a dollar or something to help out in any sort of way, that's
what
I'm trying to do.
Yeah, man, it's all it takes. Even sometimes they don't like that guy. He didn't even want money, man.
He wanted a slice of pizza. I would have gave
him fucking pizza.
Yeah,
man.
It's like whenever we like. I mean, I've done this once before. Like when we leave a restaurant, a big leftover, like half a sandwich or something. I give it to them. Like I see them hungry. Why not?
I don't think it's in the Bible, but there's a saying where it says, when I was in prison, I got really, really into all different kind of religions. I just wanted to know what was like this God everybody was talking about.
Yeah.
'Cause everybody finds them in prison, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I read the Quran, I read the Bible, I Buddhism. I was like all over the place. I wanted to, like I said, I have a very addicting personality.
Yeah.
So like,
once you get down that rabbit hole,
I was like, I want to know. And, you know, it says that you should always entertain an angel. And no, you should always entertain a stranger, because you never know if that stranger is an angel.
Yeah.
So it's
that's awesome.
It's crazy because you never know really, like,
yeah,
if what? That's just almost like a test of your heart.
Mm, I like that.
You know,
yeah.
So it's like,
have you heard that, Britt? You've heard that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's you never know, man. Like just by doing that small thing.
Yeah.
Of course, you're doing it selfish.
So yeah,
like without
you're not thinking
nothing,
about it in the moment.
But
yeah,
you never know what that could bring back to you.
Yeah. Tenfold.
So it's paying it forward, man.
Yeah.
Like always. And that's how I live my life every day now. Is
yeah.
Yeah, I'm still an asshole. And you can ask anybody in my crew. They know that I'm straight a fucking asshole. I tell you how it is. If your fucking breath smells, I'm gonna tell you. And that's pretty much how I carry myself. But every day I try to do something kind or something that is like just not selfish towards me, something that it's not for me.
Yeah.
And it could be the smallest thing, but it takes 1 minute out of your fucking day. Mm-hmm. Open up the door for somebody, help somebody carry something. It's just anything, man. And you'll start to see how that actually starts to change you as a person.
That's good, man. And I think that's a good testament for everyone to do, because if everyone did that, the world would be a little bit better place and it wouldn't be this much of a shithole and seeing these horrible people not give slices of pizza. That's wrong, man.
I was so mad, man.
I
told my fiance, I was like, I was so close to like insulting her because she was kind of a big girl.
Yeah.
You know, but I was like, then I would have brought myself down to her level.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was like, I just bought the guy the
pizza. Be good karma, yeah.
And he was so happy, man. He fucking ran with the pizza. I was like, you're welcome.
See you later.
So.
I mean, there's a lot of things that you are doing really well, and I just wish you nothing but the best. I mean, we're coming down to the end here. We've been here about an hour.
Shit, that went fast.
Yeah, it goes by fast. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we didn't get into, but I want to give this opportunity for you to – what's one last thing that you can help people, you know, either motivate them or give them a life motto to leave on?
It's never too late.
It's never too late, man.
Never too late. That's what I tell all my guys. It's never too late. Every.
How old is your old client? The one in the morning?
I don't want to get it wrong. You know how it is with women when you get their age wrong. I think she's 57, but my oldest one has been 73. He actually sent me an email yesterday.
Awesome.
He's from Australia.
That's so dope. I mean, it's never too.
It's never too late, man. Yeah. Every minute is a chance to change something. And your life could change in that minute.
Absolutely.
So it's like, it's never too late.
Man, thank you. That's a lot. That's a good one to end on. But before we go, let everyone know where they can find all your stuff, all the social media and website info.
Well, my Instagram is Wrong to Strong, of course. And on Facebook, I'm JC Fit. I'm located at Tangible Fitness, 1500 East Thomas Road. And you could also find me on www.wrongtostrong.com. Yep. And I mean, you'll see us. We're all over social media right now.
Yeah, man. Hopefully I can grab a workout with you. See what it's, I say that now and I'm like looking at you. I'm like, he's like, yeah, I'm gonna torture this motherfucker. but yeah, it's like, hopefully I can like jump in on a session maybe or something you got going on with the kids. I'll do anything, man.
Come in whenever you feel like it, man. We always meet Monday through Friday at 5:30 to 7:00. So
all right,
stop in.
Absolutely. All right. And then before we go, you guys can find us at findingarizonapodcast.com. All our social media is under Finding Arizona Podcast. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Finding AZ. And thank you again for coming in, JC. I fucking appreciate it, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So with that, we say goodbye. Bye, everybody.
Later.
Hey, hey, all you Arizona lovers. Thank you so much for listening to that episode. That was episode number 132 with our buddy JC from Wrong to Strong. Hopefully you guys learned a little bit about his past and understand where he's coming from. Very intense conversation. I thought it was just really cool to kind of see a guy from his background and really sit down and give me an opportunity to understand him and to really appreciate where he's come, like his whole dynamic and his whole past and all of it coming together the way it is. I think he's totally dope. He's an awesome, chill guy. Just give him, if you guys really want this man to help you out to get better, get stronger, go check out his website. Everything's under the link. But I gotta say, just working out with just his crew, I felt better. Just like overall, just off the bat, those guys were open, honest, like just straight up the nicest fellas you'll ever meet. And they're hilarious. And it was just fun to just sit down and like, not sit down, but to work out with them. It was like incredible. I had a great time and I got to do it again. So JC, Wrong to Strong, go check out their stuff. Please go check out our stuff all at findingarizonapodcast.com and check out our Patreon to check out our Mother's Day special. And every little bit of you guys helping us out counts. So don't ever feel like you're not going to be able to help us. Everything that you guys do helps us a lot. So from here at Finding Arizona Podcast, I'm Jose. Thank you guys so much. I'll catch you on the next one.